That's him.
Okay, pause it right there.
Salim Abu Aziz.
This guy's really hardcore, highly fanatical. The man's a real psycho. He's been linked to dozens and dozens of car bombings. Hey, you know that cafe bomb in Rome last year? That was his. As well as the 727 out of Lisbon, this guy's a major player.
Now he's formed his own splinter faction called Crimson Jihad.
Yeah, I guess he thought the other terrorist groups were a little too warm and fuzzy for his taste.
They call him the Sand Spider.
Why?
Probably because it sounds scary.
Well, this is impressive, gentlemen. Of course, it would be even more impressive if you actually knew where he was.
We'll get it.
Hey, Eternal Heads, it's Mark. Welcome back to the show. And we have Dez here. Say hi, Dez.
Hey, guys.
So this was Dez's pick this week. So he chose True Lies, and that came out in 1994. Is that really the date?
Yeah, just like, 10 years ago, right? 1994?
Oh, yeah. It feels like 10 years ago. For some odd reason, it felt like it was in the 80s for me, but yeah.
It's really?
Yeah.
it does kind of look like late 80s if you watch it. I don't know.
It's kind of weird. But like I said, we're covering True Lies 1994. And the synopsis for this particular movie is a fearless, globetrotting, terrorist-battling secret agent has his life turned upside down, and he discovers his wife might be having an affair with a used car salesman while terrorists smuggle nuclear warheads into the United States. Which is pretty cool because they make it kind of vague so you don't have to, there's a lot more going on within the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And
no spoilers.
No spoilers within that synopsis, so that's pretty cool. I like when they do that. But with a movie like this, because it was done into, it was beginning into the mid-90s, you have some, known actors and people that we've seen, obviously, before. And I'll start off saying, obviously, this is an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. We know him as Conan, you know him as in Predator and the Terminator, Twins with Danny DeVito, and much, much more. So
that is a great action movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, it doesn't have to necessarily be action when we talk about these people. Everybody comes from a different variety. And if you notice that Schwarzenegger's career, ever since the 90s on, the early 90s, he started doing more comedies. And I like those movies too, because it's so funny to see such a huge guy like that do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And next up would be Jamie Lee Curtis. We know her from Trading Places, Halloween, of course, A Fish Called Wanda, and so much more. But obviously, she is cinema royalty. She comes from she's the daughter of Tony Curtis and Janet Lee. And we all know Tony Curtis because he's a legendary actor. Janet Leigh, we know from Psycho. Then we get the late Bill Paxton. We brought him up a couple of times so far in the podcast. But you would know him. Yeah, when we did previous episodes like The Abyss and other movies, things of that nature. People that worked with James Cameron. He was in Near Dark, Terminator. It was a cameo, obviously. Aliens, Titanic, and so much more. I think he played in a TV series where he was a Mormon, and he had several wives.
Big Love.
Yeah, that was a good show. So, and then next up we have Tom Arnold, who is the ex-husband of Roseanne Barr, and he's a comedian. He wrote for the Roseanne Barr show as well. He could be found in movies like Big Bully, Hit and Run, and one of my favorite comedy movies, McHale's Navy, because you got, Bruce Campbell and a whole variety of different comedic actors within it. And he made a cameo appearance when he was with Roseanne Barr in A Nightmare on Elm Street, the final Nightmare. So pretty cool. And then last of all, we have Elijah Dushku, who Dez and I both know. A lot of us know her as Faith from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV series that went from the, almost late 90s into the early 2000s.
Oh, yes.
And then, but also led her into a lead roles as well in The Dollhouse, which I really enjoyed. And that ran for 3 seasons, as well as Bring It On, which was a cheerleading movie of all things, The New Guy, and a horror movie called Wrong Turn, and a short-lived show called True Calling that had actually an young, early Zach Galifianakis. So if you guys are fans of these actors, go look into those films. Check those out. Those are pretty cool. I enjoyed them.
Definitely.
Yeah. So with that, we're going to move into our general thoughts of the movie. So what were your general thoughts, Des, on True Lies?
Okay. When you asked me to pick out a movie, it was the first one to pop into my head. But honestly, I hadn't seen it in probably 15 years.
Yeah.
It had always been one of my favorites. Personally, I don't think the movie has aged as well as it could have. I still love it. I still think it's a great movie. But in the era of the Me Too movement, I don't think it could be made now. I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. It's a different kind of movie for its time. But, you know, the action holds up. The comedy holds up,
definitely.
I think. And, you know, the story and how the wife is treated and everything else. Yeah, I do agree with you when it comes to that point. But in a nutshell, it's kind of dated for its time, but we still get the entertainment out of it, I think.
I do think most of the action sequences still hold up pretty well.
Oh, they were mostly practical if you think about it towards the end.
Right.
There wasn't hardly any digital or anything at that time. So with me, I really liked this movie once I first saw this, but I saw it on cable. I never did get to see it in the theater. Apparently, I saw Forrest Gump at that time. This was not on my radar to go see, and it was a Cameron film of all things. But I guess that had to do with the fact that I was playing in two bands at the same time, working a full-time job, and I was dating. So I had no time to really do much, but on occasion, I did go see movies. But I still find it entertaining to watch, just like we stated. It is dated for the storyline on how Helen is treated, I guess, because she was like pretty much just a housewife and Harry always just left to go to work and she was left to do her own thing. She felt neglected. So yeah. And then you get the kid who's like, you know, she just runs off and does her own thing.
What I do like, though, even though, you know, the way she's treated, especially in the middle part of the movie, just there's like a 25 minute period where she's just, everything is, she's treated horribly.
Yeah.
But as the movie goes along, you see how independent and how, you know, naturally skilled she is.
Yes.
At different things that would end up letting her do the same job. And even Dana later in the movie, well, first you see her pickpocketing and that type of thing. But as the movie goes on, when she steals the key, she's being heroic, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
It's inbred in their family, apparently.
Yeah. It gave some sort of importance to those characters and it showed strength too. And I think that was probably a little bit of a start, but not like a Linda Hamilton kind of start at that point.
Oh, no.
the fight scene in the limousine with Tia Carrera. And yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis, that was pretty intense. I love how she was like, oh, you want one? Oh, you want another? Boom.
I can't believe you left out Tia Carrera in your list, though. I mean, 1994, she was pretty much the hottest plant woman on the planet.
That's true. That is true, because she was still on the tails of Wayne's World at that point.
Yep.
Yeah, I forgot. Sorry. Listeners, no, you could yell at me later. So with that, we're going to move on since I already brought up a scene that was pretty cool. We're going to go into our favorite moments or scenes within the movie. So Des, you want to take us off on your favorite scenes?
Let's see. This is in your notes already, but the bathroom fight scene. I mean,
okay.
That was a great scene. It was hilarious. I mean, a lot of action. I'm still trying to figure out how that little old man was still alive at the end of it. But
oh, same here.
I mean, bullets flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Head smashed into the toilets.
Well, the urinal scene when he knocks him into the urinal. Conk. You hear it.
Water everywhere. Yeah.
I think that was Arnold's stunt double within the movie, too. And he's had a stunt double for years that looked just, you know, pretty much the same size, had the same physical look. I think that was him. I'm not sure exactly, but
I was kind of curious about that when I was watching it last night. I watched it again and I kept thinking, this guy is almost the same size as Arnold. I mean,
yeah.
So that would make complete sense.
Yeah. Well, My first one would be the whole spy scene in the very beginning, how Harry gets into the party and this foreign country. And it's so sneaky. It's kind of like James Bondish, if you think about it. And I like that aspect. It really got me intrigued because to see Arnold as who he is, he's so big, though.
Yeah.
That, then we get to that moment where he's asked by, I guess, one of the waiters or somebody saying, what are you doing in this area? And he's like, I'm trying to find the bathroom. I really got to go. I really have to take a leak.
And oh, yeah, he said, in perfect Arabic. Yeah.
In perfect Arabic. And he says, and it's donk, I guess the word is. And we get to see how he actually gets into the party itself. I thought it was pretty cool. He took out a few people along the way to get in there, too.
Yeah.
And did you have another one?
Okay. And this is kind of a cheesier one.
Okay.
Helen in the Magic Mac-10, as she drops her gun down the staircase, taking out everyone who comes near her.
Yes, and not hit herself.
Not once. It just stops every time it turns that direction.
Not really. It does shoot off. I watched it this morning before we recorded. It does shoot up in her direction, but I guess they had to angle the camera and tell, hey, Jamie, what? Move more to your right so it doesn't show it's going up centered, so it doesn't hit you. But yeah, that made you had to suspend your disbelief at that point too, because that being spinning around firing, you know that bullets are flying everywhere. Somebody's gonna get bound to get hurt.
Apparently I didn't see this one, but apparently the Mythbusters debunked that one pretty good, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Now, this could not have happened. Yeah.
Well, another one that's pretty funny that I liked was the scene where the horse refuses to jump from the building to the other building to follow the motorcycle that the bad guy was riding to jump. And then Arnold just, you know, chastises the horse saying, you're a poor excuse for an officer, because it was a police horse.
Yeah, I had that on a page that I just wrote what the fuck across the top. I'm sorry, I don't know if you're...
No, you could curse all you want.
But I keep thinking, what did he think was going to happen? Did he think this horse was really going to jump?
Well, the horse was smarter than him, obviously. So. And another one would be that final battle scene where you see Dana when she does see it's her father in the jet.
Right.
Coming up, she falls on it going, Dad? And then the whole communication of her knowing when to hold on, flipping over, and how he dispels the bad guy with like the rocket and just shoots it off.
Which there is your one bad CGI moment.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And you mentioned this last night, and I was biting my tongue.
Good.
But when I saw that, all I could think of was Wile E. Coyote. What is the Acme written on the side of that missile?
That would have been perfect. I'm pretty sure somebody has done that in the past few years. And then there's I've already mentioned it, but we'll go into it a little bit, where they're in the limousine. So you got Tia Carrera and you got Jamie Lee Curtis together, and she's trying to stop her. The fight scene between both of them was really, really cool. And there's a lot of stuff in our unknown facts that we bring up about True Lies and what happened with Jamie Lee, because she gets into her own physical form, apparently. But I really enjoyed that. The scene where the jets are coming in and Arnold tells them, he goes, oh, yeah, fine. Well, those nukes won't explode, will they? And he's like, no. they just shoot them. And that one truck, I felt so sorry for them, because they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then a bird just pops right on top of the front of the windshield and just causes them to go straight down. But, you know, and the scene, and then it leads into the scene of Arnold just picking up Jamie Lee from the limo. And then you see Tia just like go into her demise at that point.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that was pretty much it. Yeah. It's like, and she knew. She know there's nothing for me to do. Yeah.
And do you have any others?
Other favorite scenes? I think we've got all of them. I mean, even as bad as they were,
mm-hmm.
the scenes, some of the scenes, the interrogation, as bad as it was, as bad as they treat you, it was a good scene.
It was.
Especially Tom Arnold, you know, just chiming in every other question. Oh, yeah, she's sleeping around. Yeah, she's doing them. You know?
Oh, that, yeah, he kept just egging him on and yeah. getting him angrier, too. The one is the, there's another one where it's an interrogation scene where it's both Helen and Harry when they're tied to the chairs. And he's hit with truth serum. So she was like, oh, you have to tell me the truth. And then she gets all that stuff out of him. But the fact that he explains to the interrogator, who is a doctor, looks like a sadistic doctor with scalpels and all these things. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to kill you with this. And then I'm going to stab him in the head with this. And he gives him full direction. And no sooner after he picks his locks or whatever that's on the handcuffs, he gets out and he does everything he states.
100%, so, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And the fact that they were able to work together trying to get out, which leads us to that scene with the machine gun, the Uzi or something. And I just love her reaction. And it's not in my quotes. It's like, oh, I'm married Rambo, which is pretty funny too, considering that Arnold and Stallone at that time were the top-notch action heroes during that time. People always look at between the 80s and 90s, who were the biggest action heroes of that time? That would be like Jean-Claude Van Damme, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Lundgren, and I don't know. Chuck Norris is not around anymore by that time, I don't think. I think he was doing more kid shows. Yeah.
Did you say Steven Seagal?
No, I didn't.
That's what I'm trying to think of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Steven Seagal. Yeah, you could say that. Maybe even Kurt Russell at certain points. But
Kurt Russell was one of those that was really good about doing action comedy, not getting stuck in one place.
Well, yeah, eventually I have to get to Tango and Cash. That'll be a movie that I have to cover, too. Because I enjoyed that, too.
Yeah, I have probably not seen that since it came out.
I haven't seen that literally, wow, I'm going to say it's going to be over 15, 16 years. But, well, with that, with the podcast, we move into interesting facts or unknown facts about the movie, True Lies. So I'm going to start off with the first one. So, number one, the film is based on Claude Zidi's 1991 French film comedy La Totale. The original film has plenty in common with Cameron's feature, from overall plot to small character details. For instance, the character of Simon, played in Zidi's film by, I'm not going to really say this name, Boujana, I guess, and with Bill Paxton taking on the part in Cameron's film. You know, he's the sleazy car dealer in both films, so they kept that continuous, apparently.
So. Yeah. Okay. There, of course, are some differences between the two feature films. In Zidi's film, the bad guys are intent on blowing up a French football stadium, while Cameron's villains set their sights on bombing downtown Miami.
Big difference.
Huge difference.
There goes Miami. Well, number three, True Lies was reportedly the very first film to have a production budget that exceeded $100 million. Now, in today's events with movies and what they cost, that is minuscule.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's TV. That's, yeah.
That's literally TV at this point, you know, what they spent on it. Look at, like, WandaVision and all those companies, or those shows that are coming out now.
I did not know number four. Schwarzenegger almost died on the set of the film when a horse he was riding... If I was this horse, I would have killed him. When the horse he was riding during one of the film's most memorable action sequences got spooked by a camera boom and started rearing up near the edge of a very steep drop. The actor estimated it was about 90 feet to the ground. Arnold managed to slip off the horse in time, and the stuntman pulled him to safety.
Wow. I didn't know that part either. See, I just pulled all this stuff from the internet, so everybody, so I had to pull a Mark Menarden, and I didn't really read half this stuff. I only went through all the cool stuff that I liked. But you're learning it as I'm learning it, which is the cool part of this podcast. Number five, True Lies is actually an Oscar nominee. The film's visual effects team, John Bruno, Thomas L. Fisher, Jacques Strauss, and Patrick McClung, were nominated for Academy Award for their work on the film. But yeah, I already mentioned it. I went to go see Forrest Gump that year. They lost to Forrest Gump.
Well, I guess you picked the right movie. That was the winner.
I guess so.
Okay. Number six, in 2010, a rumor spread that Cameron was interested in developing the film into a new television series, joining along long-standing rumor that Cameron and Schwarzenegger were planning a cinematic sequel. Neither has come to pass, and Cameron promises that he's not working on anything new in the True Lies universe. I will add to that, because I was reading that since Disney Plus now owns the franchise, that they are planning on developing a show for Disney Plus.
That'd be cool. And it's funny, too, because I did actually hear this when it came out, and I did some research during that time because I was interested in the idea of True Lies being a TV show. But I guess it would have not been cost effective, I guess. So number seven, the film was the top earning rated R new release of 1994, making $146.2 million at the domestic box office. The film edged out Speed for the Honor, which made $121.2 million in U.S. release, despite the fact that it was in theaters for an entire month longer than True Lies. And, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, I'm a big fan of the movie Speed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So what do? You kill the hostage, right?
Yeah, exactly.
shoot
the hostage.
Shoot him. Don't kill him.
Yeah, shoot the hostage.
Okay, number eight. True Lies was number one at the box office for just 1 week. When the film hit theaters in July 1994, it bumped Forrest Gump from the top spot that the Robert Zemeckis film had earned just the week before, when it was first released in the U.S. theaters. Gump was back at the top spot the following week.
Number nine, Jamie Lee Curtis refused to let a body double film the scene in which her character Helen is dangling off of a helicopter over the ocean. The actress did the stunt herself, and on her birthday, no less. That is awesome. And yeah, she does a lot of her own stunts in this particular movie too, by the way, listeners.
But number 10, Curtis didn't do her own stunt work. Curtis didn't just do her own stunt work. She also brought her own wardrobe. The bra and underwear set she wears during Helen's famous striptease scene were her own.
Oh, Christopher Guest must have been upset about that because now everybody saw his wife's underwear. Number 11, James Cameron's voice makes an appearance in the film. During the car chase scene with Simon, Helen, and the helicopters, it's Cameron who yells, "Yeah, she's got her head in his lap. Yahoo!" when Curtis tries to hide her face. That is the, oh man, that was like the best quote too. So we don't have to put that
actually, in quote. Along with Tom Arnold, maybe she's sleepy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, that's a good quote too. Yeah, maybe she sleepy. And the look that Arnold gives Tom is funny. Okay.
Number 12, Schwarzenegger may have been very comfortable with the action sequences, but he needed extra help in different areas. He had to take tango lessons prior to filming to give his Harry Tasker all those smooth moves on the dance floor.
Number 13, although Arnold was always going to play Harry, Helen could have been someone quite different. Jodie Foster was originally cast in a role, which she had to turn down when she signed on for the lead in the movie Nell. Interesting.
Other Hollywood starlets who were rumored for the Helen part include Rosanna Arquette, Annette Bening, Gina Davis, Madonna, Sharon Stone, Leah Thompson, Deborah Winger, Kim Basinger, Joan Cusack, Melanie Griffith, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Emma Thompson. That is a wide array of women.
It is. They must have sent out scripts to everybody to see who would bite and who would come in and do an audition. But they probably had their sights set on Jamie Lee. So finally, number 15, three of the jets in the film are actual military fighter jets. Producers rented out three Marine Harriers and their pilots from the U.S. government for shooting. Amazing. I thought that's awesome. The total fee? Just over $100,000 figured from a $2,410 hourly rate. Wow. The interesting things we find when we talk about these movies, when we do this podcast, it's so fun even if I haven't read them, anybody who jumps on that hasn't done the podcast before, it's like, wow, I didn't even know that. Makes me want to look for more. With that, we're going to move on to quotes. So I have a couple, and I'll start off saying, oh, this is Gibb or Tom Arnold saying to Harry, "What kind of sick bitch takes the ice cube trays out of the freezer?" And that was regarding his ex-wife. Gibbs' ex-wife when he was trying to talk sense into Harry, I guess.
There was another one. When they were talking about the repairman coming in, it was overcharging him. Helen said, I slept with him, and he said he'd knock off $100.
Yeah, and then he just walks on and keeps goes, oh, that's great, dear.
Okay.
One other would be Harry to Helen. When Helen asks, and this is when he was stuck with the truth serum, has he killed anyone? He goes, yeah, but they were really bad. They were all bad, actually.
Simon to Helen, you know, in his last desperate attempt, if not for me, just do it for your country.
Oh, yeah.
On the couch.
But the way he said it is, if not for me, but for your country.
Yeah, it was a little whinier, yeah.
Yeah, whiny, kind of like, please. The last one would be, obviously, the typical Arnold Schwarzenegger one-off at the very end when he shoots the the terrorist on the hanging on the missile by his jacket and says, you're fired. And he shoots off the rocket.
Oh, and I did like when Albert says, I'm starting to like this guy, talking about Simon. Oh, yeah, we still got to kill him. That's a given.
Yeah, exactly. all right. Well, are you finished with your quotes or do you have more?
I think we went over them all. Yeah, we got through them.
Cool. So now within the podcast, we move on to ratings of the particular movie. So with the rating of True Lies, I'll start off with mine. I give it an 8 out of 10 for an Arnie and James Cameron film, because all your listeners know that I'm a huge James Cameron fan. Like Des and I said before, it is a bit dated, but the action and the humor still holds up. The plot point about, you know, a housewife and how she's being treated, and especially the kid, that's kind of outdated nowadays. But I just love the humor and the action overall and how they mix in the movie itself. So that's why it's a good 8 for me.
I would probably agree with an 8, a 6 if my wife's listening.
So you're saying it's an 8.
And it's an 8.
Okay.
But I'll tell her it's a 6.
Okay, that's good. So now we'll move on to our guilty pleasure movies. So those are any movies. It doesn't necessarily have to be action-based. So it could be any movie that you like that either it got really bad reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. If you talk to people about it, they just have that look of like, oh, that movie sucks. Or you just love in general. You know, it's considered a guilty pleasure because other people are not really are aware of it, or a lot of people just don't like it. And you just love it for what it is. And it's not really guilt. It's like, you know, some people pride in their movies, as Ben would say. So with that, I'm going to start off with mine, which would be, this is a 1991 movie called Ricky O, The Legend of Ricky. Now, this movie was based after a manga comic. And the action was outrageous in the film, as well as some of the kills within it. So think of like Mortal Kombat on acid. Because that's how some of the effects looked, like exploding heads, eyes bulging out, a guy's gut, like a huge like sumo wrestler kind of guy with his gut opens up and it just spills out. You know, this was kind of bloody for its time. It's an Asian film. Oddly enough, the movie was rated 85 on Rotten Tomatoes, and I just had to look that up. But when I talked to some people that, you know, I hang out with and I mention it, they didn't know this movie. And a couple of my friends actually enjoyed the movie because they love martial arts and kung fu films. But the three others are like, this movie is really bad. I was like, well, then that's why it's my guilty pleasure. So do you have one, Des?
I have one. I don't know how unpopular it really is, but I remember when it came out, it was panned by a lot of people. It was even nominated maybe once in Razzies. Was Anaconda.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I mean, it was not her first movie, but J-Lo, she was like, it was a big breakout movie for her. Ice Cube, John Boyd, Owen Wilson, Eric Stoltz. But it has some really, really horrible CGI in it. And even the practical effects aren't really that great.
Yeah,
But I can remember really enjoying the movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed that movie, too. I actually saw that movie in the theater, too. And I thought that was... I thought it was entertaining because I'm a huge lover of like monster movies and stuff like that. So that kind of fell in that category, especially with like horror. But yeah, I enjoyed that. That, you know, there's nothing to be guilty about watching that movie, honestly. So, well, as we're heading towards the end of our podcast, well, where can listeners hear me? Well, I can be found on Pounds the Pixels Next Level Podcast Network. So there we cover comic book shows that were based on comics or comic-oriented. And Steve and I are currently working on WandaVision, and slowly we're going to move into Snowpiercer Season 2. So check that out on the Next Level Podcast. And that's Panels to Pixels. So, Dez, I believe this is your second podcast that you've done?
I did Lost twice.
Oh, cool.
Ben. I did it once with Ben and Kristen and once with just Ben when Kristen was out. So, this is the third.
Awesome. So, you're making your way into getting your voice heard. So, yeah, you could hear Dez, and he was on Lost Revisited, We Have to Go Back, and that's found on the Next Level Podcast Network as well, which is in collaboration with the Podcastica Network too. So check them out and check out Dez on the episodes that he was on. And for any of you listeners that really want to submit your theories and feedback, you just could go to our Facebook group, which would be facebook.com/adrenalinecinemapodcast. We could be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, Deezer, or whatever podcast player of choice you have. Right now, we're currently on about like between, I'm going to say 24 and 26. So if you have a friend, word of mouth is always the best way to get them to listen to us. If not, just share our posts when it shows up on Facebook. Let them be aware of it, and it'll be really appreciated. If you would really like to send any audio feedback or even kind of like an email, you could just email us at adrenalinecinemapodcast@gmail.com. And what my co-host from Panels to Pixels likes to do is record his voice on his phone and then put that into an email. And if you do that, we will play it. We will read your email, and we also read your feedback from the Facebook group, which will have an image of what we're going to be talking about the next podcast. And if you leave it in a comment below that, we'll read it online. I've not seen many at all, so thanks for everybody that shows appreciation to it. Just send out feedback if you can. So with that being our show, I just want to thank everybody for listening. I'm Mark.
I'm Dez.
And this was Adrenaline Cinema Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll all talk to you later. Bye.
See you later.